I'm at Spirit Rock most of this month, teaching a month-long retreat. And I'm home a little bit on the weekends, and our speaker who was scheduled for today couldn't come, so I thought I would stop in, fill in. One of the remarkable things about mindfulness practice that's very evident in a long retreat like this month long is that there's a kind of deepening connections that people have with their direct experience. And some of that is learned by seeing very clearly how we keep ourselves separate from our immediate experience, our lived experience. And then as people tune in and relax into it, there's deeper and deeper aspects of what's actually here, always here, becomes more and more evident as we, in that concentrated stillness of the practice. And a lot of it has to do with, you see on the retreat, people having, learning a deeper and deeper trust that it's okay to be present for their lived experience, their immediate experiences, as it's actually lived, as it's actually experienced as direct experience. Becomes evident that many of us live much of our lives somewhat removed from our direct experience. We can, most obviously, in thinking about the future a lot, or planning, or thinking about the past, reviewing it, living in fantasy a lot. But even if we're somewhat in the present moment, we can be somewhat removed from it by how we relate to the present moment. We might know that maybe our body has some kind of injury and pain. And so we know that's what's going on. But we haven't really stopped carefully, fully, to really sense our way, feel what that pain is really like in and of itself. We might go off and kind of react and look on the internet about, you know, everything we can about that injury and how to heal it, and talk to our doctors or whatever, but talk to our friends or, you know, something. Somehow keep ourselves removed from just relaxing, just being. What is this experience in and of itself? Emotions are that way a lot. Emotions tend to come together with a lot of stories that we tell ourselves about why we feel the way we do, or why we should or shouldn't feel the way we are feeling. And so we might somewhat know how we're experiencing, what we're experiencing emotionally, but there's also a tendency to keep ourselves removed from it. If it's painful emotions, you know, people are kind of, you know, brace themselves against it, or don't want to really feel it fully. They want to somehow get rid of it, or make it, you know, different than what it is. And so you see that here on the retreat, people are kind of slowly, some people slowly, relaxing enough to finding the trust, or finding they have no other alternative, but to really feel the immediacy, the directness of what is going on for them. If you go down to the banks of a river and with a bucket, and you take a bucket full of water out of the river and then walk around the countryside telling people that, look, I have the river here. I think, you know, it doesn't quite work, does it? Now you have a bucket of water. But it's not really the experience of the river. You don't feel the you don't see the current of the river. You don't see the boats floating in the river, or the fish, or you don't see the way the river kind of, the waves and the ripples and the river. You don't, the whole experience of riverness is not in the bucket. And many of us are sitting kind of at the banks of the direct experience of life as it flows and moves constantly moving. The present moment is a moving moment. It's kind of like goes into the future every moment. The future comes to us or whatever. I don't know where it goes, but you know, it's constantly flowing. Things are changing. And then something happens, and it's like we pick up the bucket and we go around and we relate to that memory, that thought, that concern about something that just happened. And many a times our involvement with the present moment, to the degree which we're tuned into it, is retrospective. Something's happened. Oh, so you're driving your car, and then someone cuts you off in the traffic, and which is an unfortunate event perhaps, but it's possible to spend the next 5-10 minutes reflecting and thinking about that person. about what you're going to do to that person, or can you catch up to that person and get a good look and really stare the person in the eye, it's like, you know, or whatever, you know, or various ways in which we are thinking about what just happened. And in a sense, it can take us away from the continuation of the flow of traffic, what's happening in the present moment. Part of the art of mindfulness is having a trust of, can you just stay in the present moment experience in a much more deeper and fuller way? The experience of freedom, as I said in the beginning, in Buddhism, is through the doorway of our lived experience, the immediacy of our experience. I heard a story this week. In the early 80s, there was a somewhat eccentric Vipassana teacher teaching at IMS, for, I guess, a three-month course. And one day she was going to give a Dharma talk, and she had the staff there bring all the library books from the library, they have an extensive library, and pile them up on the stage where the speaker speaks. So all these books were there. And then she picked up one book and opened it. I don't think it was at random. And read one line. And the line said, the essence of the Dharma is letting go. And then she closed the book and she left. with all those books on the stage left there. It's not exactly pointing to direct experience, but the direct experience is where we learn to let go by sensing our way, feeling it, being there. The direct experience is where we find some of the most valuable things of life in the present moment as we live it, joy and love and peace and freedom. So what was it like for some of you to spend half an hour with your lived experience? Trusting, of course, you had it, right? So with your hands, it was easy to slip back into your stories. My hands. My hands are too fat, they're too thin, they're too this, they're too that. I didn't do my nails today, and so, you know.
I enjoy the part where you hands, and for a while I couldn't find my hands, and then I kind of got part of it sort of around the palm. And then after a while, he said, it's okay, you don't feel your hand. Or something to that effect. He brought that okayness back to me, that it doesn't have to be so hard. There's something, my awareness can be there, but I don't have to be so hard with it. It can just be there for me.
That's very good. Yeah. Awareness itself, in and of itself, is a very simple and easy aspect of human life. It's when we want to do something with it, direct it or hold it a certain way or accomplish something, that sometimes it gets quite difficult. But if you did nothing at all, awareness would operate. You might not be aware of what you would like to be aware of, but you always need to be aware of what you want to be aware of. In meditation, sometimes to relax your awareness quite deeply and let reality show itself can be quite profound. Yeah?
I enjoyed it immensely. Years ago, it was sweeping, so it was a little more inner directed. And being, you know, having it be a guided meditation really so relaxing, and then just sort of just letting the experience of whatever arises in that particular part of the body was really wonderful. Where it got a little tricky as we got into awareness, knowing itself, the one who knows, you know, that element there, it didn't feel too much different. I didn't notice a big shift between that and peace. There was sort of a continuity at one point, because I really couldn't grab it. There wasn't anything there. So it was kind of interesting to just be patient and see what happened. That was peaceful in itself.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody have difficulties?
Just always find it very difficult focusing on the body. And this time I was much more aware of how nuanced and subtle judgment is. And it's just there. Try not to pay attention to it or turn my focus. And I have, often I have the sensation that I can only really sense on the left side and the right side. Sort of like acting.
Part of the value of beginning to pay attention to the lived experience, the present experience, the bodily experience, is to become aware of the things that take us away from it, that keep us removed from it. And that's part of the, really part of the value, to see that, to really see clearly how the mind operates, how the reactions to judgments, how the story making operates, and to really get to know that well. I think it's very easy for meditators to somehow then kind of to learn about present moment experience, to learn about being in their body, and then think, oh, I'm wrong or bad because I can't do that. There's no such thing as being wrong or bad because you can't do that, but it's the attempt to do that can highlight, make clear all the other things that are going on, so we can learn from that and see it, and by seeing it clearly, find our way through that. When the Chinese received Buddhism, it was very confusing for them, because they started receiving Buddhism around the first century. And by that time, there had been 5 or 6 centuries of developments of Indian Buddhism. And then they got it all at once. And the Indians kind of saw all the different schools and all the different historical layers and kind of knew where it all kind of fit. But the Chinese just got it all, in a sense. As scholars say, it took the Chinese about 500 years to begin to understand what Buddhism was about. But there was a huge intellectual endeavor in China of trying to make sense of all these different schools of Indian Buddhism, all the different, you know, all that. And around the 6th, 7th or 8th century was kind of the pinnacle of this great intellectual synthesis of Buddhism that was going on in China. There was a famous Zen teacher, scholar named Sungmi, who was synthesizing all this, and he synthesized it all in one sentence. And the sentence is, liberation beckons us from within everything. Isn't that nice as a summary of all of Buddhism? And one of the reasons I like it is that everything that's a thing, everything which is a lived experience, whether it's even judgments or thoughts or sensations of your hands, there's something in there that somehow can be felt as or seen as or understood as an invitation to come and be liberated here. Find your liberation here. Find how to be free here. So that there's no need to turn away from anything in order to become liberated. In fact, to turn away from anything is in the opposite direction of liberation. The movement of towards liberation is one of inclusivity, of incorporating or seeing everything, of not shutting down, not turning away, not saying, in a sense, no to anything, but learning how to find liberation, how to find freedom or your peace in whatever the experience you're having right now. So right now, you know, not tomorrow or the next time you meditate, but as you're sitting here now, listening to my voice, sensing and feeling the room that you're in, the light of the room, the experience of your body against the chair and the cushion, your thoughts you're having as you listen to me say this. All this in the immediacy of right now is where liberation is beckoning you, inviting you. If you'd like to take the opportunity, if you want to enter into that in a way that's direct and immediate, to find the liberation that's there. Is that possible? So I hope that you certainly enjoy your lived experience, that you explore it and play in it, practice with it, wake up to it, become more sensitive to it, and certainly appreciate the great opportunity that's inherent in our direct experience of our lived life. And perhaps in noticing that, the opportunity to also start noticing what is lost when we spend a long time away from our direct experience. And the longer we're away from it, I think the more that is lost. So may you all enjoy your direct experience.